All right. I'm here with Alan Baylor. Thanks for joining me, Alan.
You're welcome. It's great to be here, Josh.
And we're going to talk about how Nanocast has impacted your business, how it's been able to grow using Nanocast as a tool, and what specific benefits that Nanocast has brought to your business. And hopefully we'll be able to gain some insights too, how you've used Nanocast creatively and be able to share those with other Nanocast users, and that'll benefit them in a great way. What brought you to Nanocast originally?
Great question. So, you know, I started my internet marketing business in 2008, and I initially focused, as probably many people and maybe some listeners do, on affiliate marketing. So rather than create a product and own a product, I initially focused on promoting and selling other people's products and trying to become an expert on marketing. You know, that was a great way to start. Traffic can be king in the online marketing space, and knowing how to generate traffic is really important. But at some point, it's sort of natural for everybody, whether they start out as an affiliate or start out as a product owner, it happens sooner. You decide you want to have your own thing. You want to have your own product, your own service. And to do that, you need a shopping cart at a minimum so that you can collect payments. There are other alternatives out there that a lot of people start with. You know, some people sign up with a PayPal account. A lot of people in my particular market, info products, start with ClickBank. And those are all, you know, good places to go. But those other options have serious limitations. And for me, it was almost a non-starter in that, sure, I could create a ClickBank account or a PayPal account and sell my own products. But there were so many limitations and negatives that I didn't even want to go down that road. So I got to Nanocast after doing realizing that I needed a shopping cart, that I was looking for something that would help grow with me as my business grew, that would integrate with various outside service providers that I needed to run a business, such as an autoresponder company, a physical products warehouse company, a CRM tool. So I realized that I needed something that can kind of either do all of those things or would be open to having other things bolt on eventually as I needed them. And that took me to Nanocast because, you know, in the sort of competitive landscape, there are tools that do some of those things that I just mentioned, such as shopping cart or autoresponder, but there are very few things that do it all and connect it all. And so I made the decision probably a little bit in advance of actually needing a lot of that functionality, that Nanocast was the right place to build my business.
So when you came to us, you were already doing some volume?
Yes, I had started doing a lot of affiliate volume where I was generating traffic for other people's products, whether it was ClickBank or Infusionsoft or CPA networks. When I came to Nanocast, I was starting to create a different part of my business, which was the owning the offer, owning the product. And so when I came to Nanocast on that side of the business, I didn't yet have any volume, any traffic, anything going to my own offers. I was creating them from scratch, and I wanted to build them from the beginning in Nanocast.
So how did you begin to build traffic to your offers?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk for hours about that. I love traffic.
Obviously.
Really, that's kind of my passion and probably the thing that I focus on. But the short answer, or the abbreviated version, I think, is there are two different kinds of traffic out there, right? There's traffic that you pay for, you know, you go buy, or there's traffic that you generate organically, whether that's SEO or affiliate relationships or that sort of thing. I tried everything for the first 6 months of my business, and I realized that given my background and the things that I really like to do and my impatience, that I really like to focus on paid traffic. So I'm perfectly willing to go out there and do a banner campaign or a media buy. Or, you know, we've even gotten into stuff like TV ads and radio ads. I'm willing to go spend money to get traffic and figure out how to monetize that effectively. So the short answer is I've been focusing since I started my business on the paid traffic side, I like to go buy traffic.
Something that you mentioned to me early on is that Nanocast had been able to essentially give you an immediate boost to conversion rates based on the checkout process. What were the benefits that you found there?
Oh yeah, that's huge. And when, you know, when aspiring product owners come to me and say, "Hey, I need a great shopping cart," I point them to Nanocast, and this is one of the reasons I cite. And I want to say this in a way that's complimentary to what I've experienced with Nanocast without dissing the competition too much. But here's the thing. When you're a product owner, the checkout process is a hugely important metric to monitor, to measure, and to try and improve. And what I mean by that is you can have a sales page or a sales video that does a great job selling your product or service. But ultimately, you've got to ask a customer to take out their credit card and give you money for whatever that is. And that's when the checkout page comes in. And I think so many people focus on traffic. So many people focus on creating a great sales video or sales page. And almost everybody I talk to forgets a crucial step, which is optimizing the checkout page where you accept the credit card. So there are other options out there. PayPal, everybody knows PayPal, where you click add to cart, and then you have to go enter your PayPal address and it takes you to PayPal. You have to complete the process there. That doesn't convert very well. There are a lot of steps that a customer has to go through. They have to have a PayPal account. They have to remember their password. They have to pick their shipping address. There's like a million little steps. Also, it's happening on a site that doesn't look anything like your site. ClickBank is another example. I love ClickBank. I've done a ton of business with ClickBank as an affiliate. But on any ClickBank offer, when you click add to cart, you go to a ClickBank page that just has a little tiny logo at the top from that product owner. It's got a form that may look nothing like the website the visitor was just on. And as a result, in my experience, for example, a ClickBank page typically converts at 15 to 20%, which means if you've got 100 people, Josh, going to a ClickBank checkout page, so they saw your banner ad, they came to your landing page, they watched your 20-minute video, my gosh, they finally hit the add to cart button, the shocking fact is only 10 or 15% of those people will complete the transaction. And that is just a killer for a business owner. And so Nanocast, and one of the brilliant things it lets you do is it lets you customize that checkout page. So you can put your own logo, your own text, your own colors, which is great. And the ideal experience is to have a checkout page that matches your sales page. That'll get you the highest conversion rate. But even still, out of the box, I found the Nanocast standard hosted checkout page, which says secure checkout page at the top, and has forms for contact info and shipping info and credit card info. Honestly, you look at it and you're like, you know, it's functional, but it's not, you know, I think even you'd admit it's not super sexy, right?
Yeah, exactly. The basic generic checkout page.
Right. And that's really what it is. But even that basic ugly checkout page, you know, using that and putting a little bit of customization, like an image and text at the top, talking about the product that the customer was about to purchase. When we started doing that immediately, you know, when we started our Nanocast account, we saw conversion rates more like 20 or 25%. So in some cases, double what we were seeing on an identical product on another platform. And again, you know, I think a lot of product owners don't look at those metrics closely, but, you know, that is such an easy improvement to make in your business. If you can get a higher converting checkout page, you can have the same amount of traffic, same amount of people hitting the add to cart button, you're going to make more money. And I was very impressed. That's a long-winded explanation for your ugly basic checkout page with some, you know, very minor customizations immediately made us more money.
You know, and that's one of the big points, because a lot of people, as you said, they overlook this. They spend so much time focusing on all these other elements in their sales process that they overlook the one area that they don't actually have to write any additional copy, make their offer any sweeter. They just have to test and know what the metrics are on the conversion rates of those checkout pages. Now, you mentioned we do offer customization. Yeah, you could absolutely turn our checkout pages into fancier checkout pages. I've seen you do that with some of your other offers more recently. Is that something that you're testing? Is that something that you've maybe found a design that works with some offers and maybe the basic one works with other offers?
Yeah, I think the basic page is a great place for people to start, and it's better than the competition. So that's kind of step one. I think step two is, once I've got an offer that's getting decent traffic and seems like it has promise, that's a place I want to optimize. And I can share a couple things that I've found that have really been helpful in terms of those more advanced tweaks that you can do to help people. So, the first thing that I've done and seen great results at consistently is to match the look and feel, the colors, the layout, the header, as closely as possible on the checkout page to the page immediately preceding it, which is usually, in our case, we sell through video sales letters. So we want to make that, we have a landing page, we want our checkout page to have the same header, the same background colors. That will give folks an immediate conversion rate increase. And it's actually quite easy to do in the Nanocast system.
So this is even above your base rate, so...
Correct, because every percentage point there, as you know, is huge. And it's money in your pocket without getting any more traffic, which is wonderful. So that'll give you a few more percentage points for sure. A second tip that I can share that we've done consistently is we've found good results putting videos on our checkout pages. And the reason that works, I think, is, as I mentioned, we're selling our products through video sales letters. So a customer will come to our landing page and they'll listen to sometimes quite a long video where we make an offer. And it could be 10 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, it could be 30 minutes. I'm sure you've seen in the internet marketing world the popularity of video sales letters. Well, what we found is, if we would create a brief 30 to 60 second video and put that on our checkout page, essentially, you know, it's a very quick video that says, hey, congratulations on taking the first step towards whatever benefit our product offers. You know, just fill in your information on the secure checkout page, secure, and, you know, we'll get started on rushing you your order right away. So it's sort of like congratulating them for taking the next step, assuring them that it's a secure page, and then telling them what you want them to do. You know, fill in your credit card information. When we added those brief 30 to 60 second videos onto our Nanocast checkout pages, we saw another 10 to 20% boost in our checkout percentage. That's specific. You know, we're selling through videos, so it makes sense. Video on the sales letter, video on the checkout page. I know a lot of your customers might be doing the same thing. That's a tip I can give them that will immediately improve their response.
You do the video on the checkout page, are you using the same voice talent that you did in the sales video?
Yes. I think that's also hugely important. It, you know, from a marketing perspective, you want to have a sense of continuity through all steps of your funnel. So, you know, whether we like to ideally have a banner ad look like our landing page, look like our checkout page, look like our upsell page, look like our thank you page. And so, yes, you know, we have videos on each step of the way, and we have the same voice, the same avatar on each. But I can, you know, unequivocally say that, yes, we're getting superior results, as I mentioned, right out of the box with Nanocast checkout form, even incrementally as we add these tips that I shared, making it look more like the sales page, adding a video. Those are great things.
So I'd just like to kind of do a small caveat on volume, because when you're talking from experience, a lot of people go, well, you know, what kind of insight does this guy have? And I just wanted to point out that you've done hundreds of thousands of sales through Nanocast, multiple hundreds of thousands of sales through Nanocast. So this isn't like I did 1,000 sales and it was X conversion rate. This is, you've tested this over now a couple of years, pushing huge, huge volume, especially in the last 18 months. You ramped up your volume significantly. And we're talking 8 figures worth of volume as far as to sales goes. So when you came to Nanocast, you know, immediately you responded and said, wow, conversion rate, awesome. If anybody wants to see the original video that Alan submitted to us, you'll hear what he was talking about back then. And that was, you know, when you'd done, I think, about 100,000 sales through Nanocast and a couple million in volume. But then in the last 18 months, and that's, I think, going to cover that big ramp up period, you were able to take it to the next level, essentially establishing your metrics and knowing what your conversion rates were. You were then able to really ramp up your marketing campaign. Is there something that you can share about that might inspire people?
Wow. Yeah. That, I mean, thank you for that. You're right though. You know, and I should have mentioned that in the beginning. I mean, we've battle tested Nanocast, that's for sure. You know, we might be approaching 500,000 sales, individual transactions going through the Nanocast system. And that's in the last few years. So, I mean, I guess the thing that I would share with folks is sort of, you know, we've been talking about the checkout process and how to improve things. I think our breakthrough has not been one sort of home run swing. It's been more sort of the incremental improvement of the blocking and tackling. So, you know, we talked about how to approach a checkout page, start with the basics, but then you can add things to make it look like your original page, add a video, you know, measure, monitor, test, and improve in each of the critical areas of your business. And I know that's not a sexy answer. You know, people like to think about, and I've fallen in this trap, believe me, you know, the bright, shiny object or the new technique to generate traffic or the hot new product category. But I mean, it, you know, you've seen our products. They're not flashy. They're not like, you know, buy this pill and you'll lose 100 pounds tomorrow. You know, they're kind of boring and conventional. So it's really the focus on measurement and continual improvement, knowing your metrics, figuring out the key elements, whether it's conversion rate or traffic. I know that's not a satisfying answer, perhaps, but really that's how we were able to do what we've done so far.
Once you find out the conversion rate and how much it's going to cost you to get that traffic, and you know what your targeted traffic sources are, then it's just about ramping it up.
Yeah, and thank you for that. That's really a key point. And this, I heard a few years ago, and I've really lived sort of our business life by it. You know, I mentioned the measuring, monitoring, and improving your statistics. The bottom line in one sentence of what we've done and what I'd suggest people do is know how much money you earn per visitor. Figure out whatever that stat is. And it's a contribution of all these things. And say it's every visitor that hits your site, you figured out that you make 25 cents. Well, now the game becomes, when you're putting your traffic hat on, is how can I go get as many clicks in the world that cost me less than 25 cents? Because I now know my metric. And anybody I put into that pipeline at 24 cents, I make money. 23 cents, I make money. And from a, you know, since I focus on paid media buys, banner ads, email, pay-per-click, some of this offline stuff, that really helps because now I know, okay, 25 cents is what I need to get. I'm going to go find, I'm going to unearth whether it's Google or Bing or Yahoo, it doesn't matter. Now I know what I need to go pay. And otherwise, you're just kind of shooting in the dark, I think.
What tools are you using to track those metrics?
Well, you know, the Nanocast tools are very effective. You know, knowing we use the affiliate system not only for our affiliates but also for some of our internal buys. So I can see, okay, how many clicks did I get? What was the conversion rate? And what was I paid or what did I pay my affiliates as a commission? That helps me understand what's my earnings per click from that particular traffic source, that particular affiliate. again, that gives me the key number that I need to know, which is my earnings per click. And now when I'm buying pay-per-click or I'm buying on a CPM basis or I'm talking to a potential affiliate partner, now I know what I can afford to pay. So the built-in Nanocast tools and the affiliate tracking system, we use quite a bit to do that. We also use Google Analytics and Clicky to monitor sort of what's going on in our business. And you can set up goals and associate revenue with that. Finally, on some of we focus a lot on buying banners and doing media buys. And I use tools called Ad Server, which basically allows me to load up different banners, serve them on a particular site, monitor the click-through rates, the conversion rates, how much each of them is earning. So that's another tool that I use effectively to monitor what I'm earning per click.
Where are you integrating the Google tracking and the Clicky tracking, and what part of the funnel?
We have that code on each page in our site. So what we've got, and we're probably not doing a great job of this, honestly, we're basically monitoring when people hit our landing page and when people complete a sale. And so we're just looking at sort of the top and the bottom of the funnel and looking at how much revenue and what's that overall conversion rate. Probably the right thing to do, and it's been on our list, we should probably do it, is to measure each successive step in the funnel. So in other words, you know, how many people are taking upsell number one? How many people are taking upsell number two? How many people are bailing out before they get to the add to cart? Measuring each step in the funnel would be more effective. I kind of look at each step and I monitor those, but here's a case where do what I say, not what I do. I should probably monitor those in real time rather than periodically.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about another step in, you know, the process. Obviously, you've been very effective at what you have done, and I like how you're like, well, it's just the top and the bottom. That's simple. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great because I kind of believe in the keep it simple, stupid things. And sometimes when I show what I'm doing to other people, they're like, duh. I can't believe it.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I always try and emphasize to users, say, I think you're complicating your business. I mean, really, focus on what makes you money. Why duct tape everything together and worry about the moving parts when there's really central things that make you money? The checkout page, you know, the conversion rate between your sales letter and actually getting them to close the deal. And you mentioned upsells and downsells. And, you know, Nanocast offers a very powerful upsell and downsell solution. And so how are you using that in your business?
Yeah, that's great. Good segue. I mean, that's, you know, back to your original question, how did I come to Nanocast? That was a key requirement, was the ability to do upsells and downsells. And it's one of Nanocast's best features, in my opinion. So, you know, if people out there don't understand, an upsell or a downsell is simply an offer that we make to somebody after they've made their first purchase.
But can I stop you there, too? And this is something I wanted to emphasize. We believe at Nanocast that when a person makes the decision to buy, you should let them buy right then. You should capture that sale because then you're guaranteeing the conversion rate. When they're at the height of the decision-making process on the initial offer, closing that deal, that's going to give you the highest conversion rate. When they make the decision to buy, we like to charge the card. Follow it with the upsell, charge the card. Follow it with the other upsell or downsell, charge the card. And each time we charge the card,
yeah, that's huge, huge. Yeah, I mean, really, and that probably, when I think about it, that might have been the number one most appealing thing to Nanocast that brought us on board. I couldn't agree more. That's what I call a post-sale one-click upsell is really what the way I like to think of it for Nanocast. And so the one action is finish that first order. And then I want to present you with future upsell orders. And I'll tell you, Josh, this will make you laugh, but when I talk to friends who are in the e-commerce business, you know, they're selling a catalog of physical items, their shopping carts don't have this ability. And it's amazing when I'm competing with them and we're selling the same product, I'm going to kick their butt because, you know, instead of having a multitude of offers and trying to get somebody to take a bigger package on the initial checkout page, I'm able to hit them after they've bought. It always works. So The short answer is the post-sale one-click upsell is huge. That's all Nanocast would have to be greatly successful. And, you know, to spin that forward to how people can use that, so there is so much, you know, businesses that aren't making upsells, especially in the info product or even the physical product space, they're leaving so much money on the table. If you've got any sort of product business or service business that is working well, I guarantee that if you just add a one-click upsell like Nanocast can do, and we can create one in 5 minutes, by the way, you're going to make a ton more money. So the short answer is, I think it attributes for our business's sales, the upsell, boy, it's got to be at least half, and it's probably more like 2/3 of our total sales volume come through upsells.
Have you taken advantage of the new Nanocast split test feature for sales funnels? You split test upsells and stuff?
Tell me about it.
If you have two offers, and our upsell process is really simple, well, what our split test feature allows you to do is essentially A-B split test or ABC split test between several different upsell offers. And so maybe you're just split testing a headline or some sales copy in your upsell offer, or maybe you want to completely split test two different offers. You can do that within Nanocast. And what Nanocast will do is show you the winner.
I'm glad that's been built.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of it. So as far as developing your offers, is there any insight that you can give us? Was it a methodical process? Because I know I've been in info publishing and I've had some successes with some of my info products, but it's usually because it's something I'm interested in or something I discover that excites me and
yeah,
I want to share
think,
with other people.
You know, a couple of things. I think I look at it philosophically a little differently in that, I'm not sure why this is the case, but I sort of look at it instead of things that I'm interested in, I look at it in terms of places and communities and audiences where I know how to access them. I know how to buy traffic on those sites. I know where they hang out. I know what sort of other products they're buying. And, I kind of think about focus in terms of my business. So I mentioned, there's paid traffic and then there's organic SEO, and I chose to focus on paid, because that's what I think I'm good at, and that's what I prefer to do. I think focus is helpful, and knowing where the fish are and what sites they're on, what sort of ad reps I need to deal with, what are the going rates, what other products they're buying, that's been very helpful to get a familiarity and a focus with a particular market. So I kind of look at it the reverse, because I'm interested in things like golf, and I have two little kids, but I've never thought of having a product in either area. I've more looked at it from a marketing perspective about what markets do I know how to access. So maybe that makes me a little strange, but that's sort of one thing. Another thing that I would focus on for sort of aspiring info product owners out there, I think sort of the secret sauce or the magic formula for a really great offer, I think, is a high converting front end offer followed by a series of high upsell take rates. And the cool thing is using Nanocast, you can achieve both those. You need the conversion on the front end offer, and then you need a good take rate, acceptance of the upsells. So the first part, the high converting, low ticket front end item, our most successful product is priced at $27. And when we created that product, 18 months ago, there were other products in the market in the same field, in the same niche, and all of them were selling for $50. So we said, okay, we're gonna come up with a product that is just about half as much, to make it easier for consumers to buy it and try it out, drive up the conversion rate. We looked at what the other competitors were offering in terms of content, and we decided to essentially double that. So, they were covering, say, three or four topics. We decided to cover eight topics and in more depth. And then the third thing we looked at was, okay, they're delivering strictly digital products. You know, it's a download. Well, we're going to add a physical component to our product. So all of our products have a physical component, whether it's receiving a disc in the mail or getting a printed book or getting a DVD. And that's how we constructed the offer. And I think of all those things, having a lower price really helped our conversion rate, brought in more customers who are willing to try our product. Then through the beauty of the upsell process and what Nanocast allows us to do, we were able to take that $27 purchase, and I think our average customer probably spends at least double that with us. And that's, you know, a great number of people don't take an upsell, some, but many do. So by collecting more revenue and offering more complementary products to a subset of customers who want to accelerate their results, we're able to bring in more money and therefore afford more media. It's a virtuous cycle. So that's a long-winded way of, I see a lot of aspiring info product owners out there who start and they're like, well, I'm very passionate about this particular project. I'm going to price it at $97. And, you know, my knowledge is important. It's going to be a $297 product. And oftentimes that'll just kill and suppress your front-end conversion rates. And you'll never get that virtuous cycle. And again, I realize that I'm a little bit different than a lot of gurus and other product owners who teach sort of, I'd rather have fewer customers and more customers that pay me more money. And I'm more like, I want lots of customers who don't pay me a lot. Different philosophies, but I've found that to be effective.
Yeah, quite obviously it's effective. So when you talked about adding physical products to the mix, did you originally add that as an upsell, or did you start testing digital physical bundles? How did you come about?
Yeah, I got a lot of help from a previous business experience where we offered to create and sell physical versions of digital products for leading info product publishers. That was several years ago, so we got the chance to work with folks like the Fat Burning Furnace and Diet Solution, Jeremy Shoemoney, you know, some of these info product publishers that were selling their products on ClickBank and outside ClickBank, but were just doing purely digital versions. So we had a business for several years that would offer physical versions of those products, printed books, DVDs, CDs in the mail. That was great because we got to learn how to source those products, warehouse them, sell them, tie them effectively into Nanocast and create an upsell funnel. And so when we created our own offers, you know, about 18 months ago, we wanted to incorporate physical elements from the beginning. So right now, our primary offers, the front-end offer comes with a CD-ROM in the mail with all of the materials, as well as digital access. And one of our first upsell offers, I think on all of our products, is would you like a printed book and DVD version of the information you just purchased? I think it's amazing how many people out in the marketplace get focused only on digital products, when in fact, real people, your customers, many of them would prefer and would pay extra to have a physical version.
That's quite interesting. So when you talked about sourcing them, I mean, Nanocast is integrated with obviously the fulfillment house that you use and several different other fulfillment options, including print-on-demand. Did you try print-on-demand?
Absolutely, yeah. Print-on-demand is a great place. Anybody can start regardless of volume. And you integrate with several print-on-demand vendors. I think Kunaki is one that I've used for years for CDs and DVDs, and they're fantastic. It's low-cost, automated, on-demand, high-quality CDs and DVDs. There's no extra frills. There's no customer service. They are what they are, but for what they do, they're great. And anybody who's got info product that's got videos or PDFs can immediately offer a physical version through Nanocast and Kunaki. Highly recommended. By the way, I've written a blog post and done an interview with ClickBank on ClickBank's blog all about physical products. And if anybody's interested, just go to the ClickBank blog and search for physical products, and you'll see some of the stuff that I've come up with. I highly recommend any aspiring info product publisher to include a physical version. It cuts down refunds. Customers prefer physical versions. You're able to add upsells. It's like all good. And it's not that much work if you use an on-demand facility like Kunaki through Nanocast.
Yeah, and you know, I want to add a caveat to that too. I really like Vervante as a company because they can do a wide variety of combination packages. They can do books, binders, CDs, DVDs, but they can also do any combination of those things. And Vervante is a good high-touch company. I also like them because you don't have to load your account. So it's TrueNet 30 collection, and that means you can get started and you don't have to worry about your budget or having any stock on hand. They'll truly do print on demand, no startup costs, and they just ding you 30 days later, which is after you've collected the money. So it's a great way to start up at Vervante.com. And we integrate with both Kanaki, Vervante Disk, PMA Fulfillment, and also we have our API. So pretty much anyone can integrate with any fulfillment service that they want, even in-house fulfillment.
Yeah, you know, I've used the Nanocast incoming and outgoing API over the years in a multiple of ways. It's just great to be able to, to whatever you can think up or comes along in your business, to be able to access and either send information in or get it out of Nanocast is great. So an example, I mentioned this fulfillment business that we ran for several years, where we worked with some of these top ClickBank publishers. One of the key things that we decided to do, because we wanted to automate and centralize our business in Nanocast, is we actually pull customer shipment information from ClickBank, bring it into Nanocast, and then send it out to the appropriate fulfillment house for that order. And that gave us several advantages. That gave us a central look at all of our customers. So if we needed to change a shipping address or refund a customer or automate where that customer name went on an email list, we could do it right from Nanocast. It allowed us to send, appropriate physical product orders to the right warehouse because we have multiple warehouses, some of the ones that you just mentioned. And we used the Nanocast API to do that. And that was a case of bringing information into Nanocast. We've also used it to post out. So we have a partner that uses a custom tracking software to track all of their affiliate activities for us. And so we use the Nanocast outgoing API when we get an affiliate sale from them to ping the appropriate data so that they can more effectively make their media buys and therefore send us more money and customers. So, yeah, I think the sort of open-ended Nanocast API, ingoing and outgoing, we've used it, as you say, in a variety of ways, and it's really key to helping, that's why I recommend people start with Nanocast, because as you grow, you might need this stuff, and you don't know now what you might need in 6 months. And it is a huge pain in the neck to switch shopping carts or email providers or any of these fundamental things in your business. So you want to be sure that you've picked a place that you can grow for years.
Yeah, you make a good point. I often mention that. People say, well, I don't think my business is ready yet for the vast amount of features. And I say, well, it doesn't matter. You simply use the features that you need now and you add in others. And some people make the mistake of saying something like, well, I'm not quite ready for an affiliate program. Well, you better be ready, because the day that someone walks in the door and goes, hey, I want to promote you this evening, you want to say yes. You don't want to pass up on that opportunity. So now you mentioned affiliates. It is part of your business. Is it a key part of your business? What kind of affiliate offers are you doing? Are you doing CPA offers? Are you doing standard commissions, both? What kind of stuff are you running through Nanocast?
Philosophically, I believe as a product owner that it's our job to generate the majority of our own traffic. I never want to, for my company, rely exclusively on others to send me visitors and traffic. You know, there are many examples in the internet marketing world of like the internet marketing syndicate, where people are just cross-promoting their own offers. And that is, that's cannibalization. You're not bringing in new customers and visitors. You become beholden to your, you know, so-called partners. And philosophically, I never wanted to run my business that way. I've seen many cases, you know, really smart people, great product owners have built a business, but because they rely on others for traffic, when a new offer comes along that attracts that affiliate's traffic, they're left in the dust, and they've got, you know, a staff of multiple, you know, people and overhead. And anyway, that I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but I feel it's super important, and I'll never give that function of our business up. However, that said, I do believe that affiliates can be a fantastic sort of rocket fuel to your business or icing on the cake. And, you know, even though I feel very strongly that we need as product owners to generate our own traffic, God bless affiliate traffic. I mean, it's great. It converts great. It can be mutually beneficial. And as long as you're not beholden to folks and you're not promoting things that you don't believe in, and there's sort of a mutual respect, it can be a very effective relationship. So, you know, I think we get, you know, maybe 30% of our traffic or sales come from affiliates. The way we've chosen to run our business is again, the sort of keep it simple, stupid. We don't have an open affiliate program. It's a private sort of invite only. When it comes to affiliates, I would rather work with people who I know, like, and trust and know can generate significant volume. You know, I'm not really interested in putting this out on like a ClickBank marketplace where hundreds of thousands of affiliates could promote it. I get concerned that they'll do bad things. They'll promote it in a way that I don't feel comfortable with. They'll make aggressive or untrue claims about what our product does. And, you know, I just don't want to risk that. So the way we've chosen to set up our affiliate program is it's private, it's invite only. We run it through Nanocast. So when we find somebody we want to work with, we can send them an auto link, and other publishers won't see our products, just the folks that we want. We set it as a percentage of a cost per sale. And, you know, occasionally when we work with a really great partner, we'll make a above normal commission for those folks who are really spending a lot of money on our behalf. But that's sort of the way that we've chosen to run the affiliate program.
Have you found any benefits in the Nanocast affiliate technology
I think
itself?
There are several things. I mean, well, three things really. First, our affiliates and JV partners love the fact that there's both cookie tracking and IP tracking for their referrals. And what that means is some systems, such as like a ClickBank, and I hate to knock them on all this stuff, but ClickBank just uses cookies. Some computers drop cookies. The browsers aren't set up to accept them. I think Firefox is coming out with a new version that's going to not accept cookies by default.
I pushed in the marketplace just all the systems to adopt these new philosophies. And we went with it quite early. And we know that some affiliates, when a product owner approaches them, they won't even run the offer unless that product owner puts their offer in Nanocast. So, you know, you are making a pretty big
The bottom line for affiliates is that results in more accurate tracking and therefore more commissions to them for their traffic. And I'll let you in on a dirty little secret. I won't name the network, but I've run products on other networks with partners. And there's a good size percentage of sales that will come in without an affiliate tag on it, without being credited to an affiliate, when we know for sure that's been driven by an affiliate. We just have no idea.
Well, and I've talked to top affiliates and, you know, in various networks, and it's industry wide. So I always tell people this. I said, regardless of whether you go with Nanocast or not, you need to ask serious hard questions to any solution that you're considering running your affiliate program with, because if they haven't got the very minimum IP and cookie tracking, that's the minimum. I mean, Nanocast offers several other layers of tracking, but IP and cookie tracking is the minimum. If they don't have that, then they aren't up to par. And I've even seen some solutions that are coming into this market to try and compete that purposely chose not to do IP tracking, probably because of the limitation of the technology platform that they already had built. So they knew that they would have had to rebuild it, or it was going to be this huge thing. They just wanted to get something to market. I'm thinking, holy cow, you guys are openly admitting you're only tracking by cookie
right.
in this day
yeah,
and age?
And,
that's
and,
crazy.
You know, as an affiliate, they recognize that. The good affiliates will recognize and will want that. So the tracking aspect, the fact that we can do lifetime commissions. So if an affiliate partner brings us a customer, we can pay them for subsequent products. They love that. Some of our affiliates are very sophisticated and have multiple campaigns, multiple tracking IDs, and they want to be able to see, to come up with some of those metrics that I shared with you. You know, how much are they earning EPC, earnings per click?
Do you have a real success story where a product came in, it was converting at 10%, you know, you got that immediate bump from the secure checkout page, and then you were able to tweak the process and maybe grow that by, because it sounds to me like you're talking about increasing conversion rates pretty close to right off the bat by 100% on most offers just on the checkout process. But then you're talking about additional increases. Is there one that you've been able to bring in an Anacast, tweak the process and get a 100%, 200%, 300%, 400%.
Well, you know, we've certainly achieved those rates over time, Josh. But really it, that blocking and tackling, that, you know, looking at what can we do to make the banners better so we get more traffic for every buy. Then what can we do to improve our landing page and the conversion process of the number of people who click add to cart? Then, you know, what can we do to improve the checkout page? Then what can we do to add and improve the upsells? So it's really sort of starting at the top of the funnel and moving the way down. We've certainly, you know, when we launched the particular series of products, you know, over a year ago, that's really helped us grow our business. You know, we've more than tripled the conversion rate since the very first version went out there. We've certainly tripled the amount of revenue per customer, but, you know, I wish I could say it was, you know, just A or B, but it was really A, B, C, D, E, F. And by the way, that's not even listing all the things that we tested that didn't work. You know, I'm a strong believer. I say this, I don't always do it, and always be testing. So always be testing something, whether it's a new video for your sales page, a new upsell offer, a new price point. A new banner ad, and we do a good job in some areas and a bad job in other areas. But it's really the compounding impact of those continual improvements that can really make a business go. And, you know, I kind of think that it takes so much energy to get a business or a product off the ground, to get it where that it's converting profitably to cold traffic, that somebody that doesn't know you from Adam, that you got a Google pay-per-click ad, or you did a banner. Once you get that rocket off the ground and now it's break even, it's like it's so much easier to take it to $100,000 per month or per year business and then $1 million. It's that first 5 feet off the ground that's so difficult.
Yeah, it would almost seem like it was easier for you to go from 7 figures, 8 figures in volume.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but I think you're right. You know, I think it's so much easier to scale, a product or business that is got a baseline of success than it is to come up with a brand new product. I mean, we've launched several new products. I mean, you've probably seen them hit our Anacast account, and, you know, maybe they get 10 customers, or maybe they get 100. But, we've certainly had a number of failures. So it's just a question of, boy, when you get that ship off the ground, and sometimes you don't even realize it. You're like, wow, we're breaking even. That doesn't sound like yay, but really you should be going like this, because you can start to implement all those things that we talked about. And scaling is the fun part of a business. And it's certainly a lot easier in many ways than getting a hit to start with.
So how do you manage a business that's doing the type of volume that you're doing when, you know, in just sheer transactions? I mean, we're talking about a fairly short period of time in the number of years that you've been using Anacast. I don't know if it's 3 years now or what, or somewhere close to that, but you've been able to run 500,000 transactions through it, but yet you're, you seem to be running a fairly simple ship. How do you manage the fraud, the risk, the chargebacks, the customer support, without having to just wear yourself out
and still be able to enjoy life? We certainly had some growing pains as the business has grown. You know, for many years in our business, it was just myself. And then we brought on my wife as a business partner, and we brought on a customer service person, and it was the three of us for several years. And you can do seven figures in revenue with three people and a good team of outsourcers as needed and great fulfillment people, you know, a reliable platform like Nanocast. You can build a business that can do seven figures that way. As our business grew in the last 18 months, when we started to hit eight figures and higher, that became impossible. And we had to bring on more folks. You know, we have a team now of seven plus maybe 10 independent contractors and customer service agents. So we've had to expand over time. We're still probably pretty lean for the amount of volume and transactions we're doing. I think that's probably because we've tried to design things to scale and automate. So, for example, I mentioned every one of our products has a physical component. We decided very early on to outsource the production and fulfillment of those things. So we're not shipping products ourselves. We have a industrial size printer that we work with huge printing presses. You know, we're ordering 25,000 books at a time. You know, we couldn't do that on our own. We had to find the right partner that could do that. The same thing with our warehouse to ship it. You know, they have, you know, 75 people on staff. We couldn't do that out of our kitchen at some point. We tried to automate a lot of the customer service aspects of our business. And in some cases, that's been a negative for us, quite honestly. We made a decision early on to try and do just customer service through email. And that worked pretty well for a while. But one day, our customer support, our sole customer support agent, came in and said, I've got 1,400 emails. I need some help. And, you know, we quickly picked a customer service ticket system. We moved things from email to a ticket system. We created canned responses. We brought on independent contractors to help us at all hours of the day. You know, we created a frequently asked questions section so that customers could self-serve to some respect. We outsourced to our warehouse to take some calls for the customers that really wanted to talk to somebody live. Those have been things that we've done to try and automate and make the process so that we didn't have to hire 100 people. But that said, you know, I realize that we still need to raise the bar and we could be doing better. So, for example, we've recently decided to hire a call center that will be available to answer our customers' questions, you know, track shipments, make upsells. And that's a big deal for us, you know, to do that. But I think, you know, we've grown to the point where we probably should have done that 6 months ago.
It's a great problem to have. That's always the phrase I use with my accountant and say, yeah, I like having that problem.
But, you know, I think, and maybe we're not great in that, you know, we solve these problems when they become problems, I guess. But I would much rather sort of, you know, get something out to market, fine tune that process, and pyramid kind of our process and business rather than the reverse. You know, I've got friends that will invest in a significant infrastructure and a lot of people before they even launch a product. And I just kind of feel the opposite, that I'd rather be adding resources and stuff late as long as it doesn't wreck our business. You know, back to that story, when we had 1,400 customer service emails, we jumped in that. Everybody on our team stopped doing what they were doing. We brought in my wife's best friend. We set up three or four computers around our kitchen table. And for 3 days straight, everybody in the business just did customer service tickets. You know, we had contests, and we basically blew through all of those tickets in, I think it was like 72 hours. Then we put everything into the proper system and scaled up. So I'm not saying that we did everything right, and it certainly caused moments of panic and, you know, setbacks and those sort of issues. But philosophically, I think that's the right way to go.
I think the important thing is just that, you know, you created the opportunity that created the problem, and you were able to learn from it and gain insight. It's just something you hadn't been through before, and now you're starting to understand how to run a business at that level. It wasn't like you knew that you were going to be at that level overnight, and it just started happening.
This was kind of touchy-feely, but I was in a mastermind group, and I was kind of relating my business, and somebody was saying, well, why don't you have more employees? And I said, well, you know, I'm kind of afraid. I don't want to hire somebody, then if the business goes away, disappoint them and, you know, have to deal with this. And, you know, I had this idea of sort of one man, one laptop. And that's really cool. But this friend kind of flipped it around and he said, you know, by not hiring employees and bringing more people on, you'd be giving them a blessing. You know, people are looking for work. They're looking for exciting, growing businesses. And by not hiring people, you're doing a bad job. You're not giving blessings. It's not a theory of abundance. You know, you're looking at the negatives. And it kind of like a light bulb went on in that mastermind meeting. And my wife and I came back, and we ended up hiring our first full-time employees after that. And, you know, that sort of theory of abundance and thinking of a job as a blessing was sort of a philosophy change.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a great thing. You know, I don't look at my business as just what it does for me and my family. I look at my business as supporting families. And also I look at my business as the impact it makes in those families. I see the impact that those people make in the lives of other people around them. And so I see that as I'm become successful and as my employees are able to be provided for and they're able to impact other people's lives, I see that as the greater success that a business can have. And, you know, that's the big reward, you know, for me. I mean, obviously there's a lot of benefits in owning your own company, but for me, the big reward is just seeing that people really get excited about working for you and being part of something that they can see results. And
yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I'm not sure about your background, but I came from corporate America, and many of our employees did. And, you know, there's so much sort of soul sucking work out there, you know. When we created our sort of vision statement or mission statement for our company, the first thing we put was we want to be a good people for good people to work. A good company for good people to work. I think I'm paraphrasing it wrong, but essentially I agree 100%.
Well, when you say you're not sure about my background, I was homeless and transient for a decade. So I come from a completely opposite background. I come straight off the streets and, you know, built my business up from scratch. Just went into door-to-door sales and found the internet and got into internet marketing, info publishing, and then eventually developing my own products. And actually, you know, that brings back, I'd kind of like to step back for a second, because you came from affiliate marketing. And yeah, I did affiliate marketing too in the early part, but I did recognize that the potential of having my own products, I just didn't really know how to come up with those ideas. And so, you know, for me, the first idea, that was the big aha moment. And when I took it to market that first day, I made more money in one day than I could have even imagined. And so that was a total change from the whole affiliate mentality and, you know, where I'm making a commission to knowing that, hey, sure, that lifestyle, that affiliate lifestyle is good. You don't have to worry about a lot of the support and all those other things. But for me, the big money is in owning your own products. And you know, I've heard other people similar to you. They're just excellent affiliates or good at traffic. And then they start to realize, hey, if I develop my own offerings, I actually can do this too and have a nice chunk of that pie. And so it seems to be a pretty good transition. How did you come up with your first product ideas? Was it really just, you know, knowing the market? Because you talked about knowing the market. How do you even get to know
actually,
that market?
Actually, you know, that's an easy to follow blueprint, I think. So actually, I think starting off as an affiliate is a great idea, because you can find out what products are selling well, And then you can reverse engineer where they're selling, how they're being sold. You know, is it through pay-per-click? What do the ads look like? What are affiliates doing for pre-sell pages, if anything? That's a great place because a way to start. Then, you know, once you find either a market or a series of products that you're successful with, then you can look at it. And this is, by the way, what we did. Okay, now I'm making money as an affiliate with a certain product in a certain market. What can I do to add value to this equation? How can I make a better offer, better product, better customer experience? And I explained how, you know, what we did, where we said, okay, we'll charge half as much money, we'll offer twice as much stuff, and we'll deliver it in a physical format. Those were kind of the three key differentiators, looking at what other affiliate products were out there. So I think actually starting as an affiliate is a great model. And then once you get some traction and find a market that you know how to access and get traffic, you know the kind of consumers that are purchasing those affiliate products, then it's a natural move to say, okay, I want to become a product owner and vendor in this market.
Do you have any advice for people who are coming from a more simple business model, that affiliate business model, where they're just simply going, finding offers and buying traffic? Everybody seems to migrate from those kind of limited feature standard networks, and then they come to Nanocast and suddenly they're making four or five times the money that they were making before.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's kind of an individual choice, because I've met and know many of the people sort of similar to what you're describing, where they just want to be on the beach, you know, 10 months of the year, and isn't it cool that I'm making X dollars without lifting a finger? And that's cool. That is totally cool. I was there for quite a while, and I respect that to definitely to a degree. You know, I think my advice to folks who are thinking about that transition is, you know, you might have a business going and it might be sort of simple and where you want it to be, but over time, those folks, those product vendors are quickly going to recognize and see the flaws in their existing platform. And they're going to say, well, how come only 10% of the people who hit my checkout page actually complete it? How come I'm not able to easily ship my customers a physical product? How is it that the platform's customer service agents are issuing refunds on my behalf? How come I can't talk to that customer and see if I can solve their problem and issue make a save a sale offer? I think as people tend to mature and have experience on those other platforms with limitations, these become bigger and bigger pain points. And it's going to be an individual decision where they're eventually going to be like, you know, I'm ready to shuck it and try something new. You know, I guess what I would, you know, maybe from a marketing perspective for you and the Nanocast team would be to, you know, transmit and articulate that value proposition, because that's probably an ideal customer for you. You know, somebody who's on a ClickBank or a AvantGate or a JVZoo, you know, these other platforms, and be like, hey, listen, you know, here are the key benefits and key features. And we've had people like you come through the funnel, and here's what they look like once they're up on Nanocast.
How has our support been for you? I mean, what kind of benefits have you received from doing business with us, just our philosophy and who we are as a company?
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple things. First, you know, the support group is very responsive. You know, problems always seem to creep up in life, you know, at 9 o'clock on a Sunday, right? It's never, you know, 10 a.m. on a Monday that these things happen. So, you know, any business, whether it's something that we're doing wrong or some sort of system issue, you know, things happen. And I've been impressed at the responsiveness from the team. You know, I typically get a reply very quickly, you know, good information. And usually it's, hey, we're investigating, or hey, we've got this fixed, or hey, you did this wrong. So I appreciate that. The second thing is, because of the nature of the system, with the open API, it really lets people kind of choose their own adventure. So, you know, there have been some cases where we wanted to do something and we've come to your team and said, hey, we'd like to do this. Can you develop this? Can you make this part of the, you know, the base Nanocast system? And the answer has been like, we'll consider it. We don't know if it fits in with the rest of our customers, but by the way, you can do just what you need to do through the API. So, you know, sometimes I don't get the answer I might like, but, you know, I get an appropriate answer and, hey, you know, you need to go do the work. We've given you the tool set to do it. So those would probably, you know, plus you've got, is it okay if I say Cameron's name?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. You've got a really sharp, particular guy, Cameron, that we've worked with for several years and like, so Cameron gets my thumbs up. Ask for Cameron.
Yeah, we love our team members. They're great people. And, you know, Cameron's definitely an integral player. But the reality is we have a unique team, and I think that everybody brings something special to the table, and it's hard to do it without each of those unique contributions. And,
yeah.
You know, that's really something good.
One last thing, you know, and I'll give you some credit and some praise. You've struck me over the years as quite a visionary for, you know, the kinds of features that you want to add into Nanocast and have added into Nanocast. You know, bringing in kind of these big, bold ideas, like I want to bring in Facebook Connect or, you know, all the content syndication stuff that you're doing, which, by the way, those are features that we personally don't use in our business. It isn't a good fit, but it's still kind of nifty and cool. And I think it's fun that you're thinking, you know, I tend to think on more sort of a micro level, and it's clear to me that you're thinking kind of big, bold tech ideas. So it's kind of cool to see those things come through. And I think that's kind of fun versus, honestly, you go to some of these other platforms and it's the same as it was 5 years ago, and it'll probably be the same in another 5 years.
Yeah, you know, that's part of who I am, is part of what I want to do in the industry. I have big ideas. And some of the things we discussed, they do make significant impacts. We do things a little bit differently than a lot of other platforms. We're not a me too in the marketplace. We're an innovator. We bring out new ideas. We help people make more money. And if we see something that's going to make you more money and it's desirable to bring to the market, then we really work on doing that. Well, you know, I just wanted to thank you for spending some time sharing some things. You got any parting words, anything that we didn't touch on that you just wish we did?
Ooh, boy. I mean, it's been a fun discussion. We've covered a lot of ground. So, no, I mean, I think, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope it's helpful to some of the folks out there that are, you know, either have a business or are starting a business. You know, I wish I would have heard some of the stuff we talked about, you know, when I was starting out. So I do hope it helps people. I also hope, you know, that sort of how much I like Nanocast didn't come across as insincere, because I really do believe that you've got a great product, and we've built our business in large part on it as a base. So I didn't mean to come across as you know, overly promotional. Just wanted to share what's been working for us. So yeah, I think it was a good discussion. Thanks for I like to talk, so thanks for asking me to talk.
Yeah, I like to talk too, but it's fun to listen when someone's got so much to share. Maybe next time we'll have to talk traffic.
Okay, cool.
So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. See you, Josh.